Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Leading 3-0, 13-6 Miami run to end the half.
I think we just had to settle down a little bit. We saw a couple go in and we started to play free.
It's a three for Tatum, back-to-back triples. The Celtics maybe have found their confidence again. This finally looks like the team that we saw at times in the playoffs and certainly in the regular season.
Heat up the clam chowder in Boston. We're coming back.
We didn't play well those first 2 games, but we didn't want that to define the season. We still got a long uphill battle to go, but tonight was a good start.
Welcome to NBA Today with Malika Andrews, live from Los Angeles.
All right, my friends, it's time to put away the brooms because the defending champions of the Eastern Conference, they live to fight another day. Welcome to NBA Today. Richard Jefferson barely made it on time. Danny Green, Jalen Rose,
always
Malika Andrews. Always there when you call?
Yep, you know it.
It's a nice jacket, too, man.
Thank you, man. I picked it myself.
Crushed velvet?
Yes.
We're with you for the next hour here on ESPN. Adrian Wojnarowski, Ramona Shelburne, they will be stopping by as well. You know who else is?
Who's that?
We got Nuggets guard Jamal Murray joining the show in just about 15 minutes, but that's not where we're going to start because we already know they've booked a ticket to their first ever finals appearance. But let's start with the Celtics. They staved off elimination last night in your favorite city, Richard Jefferson. You're dressed like you're going there.
Oh, we're going there.
Oh, we are.
We're going to Boston.
Well,
I'm just kidding. We're going to Boston.
You did say that on the show yesterday. Yeah. Jaylen Brown agrees with you as he gets out in transition and puts it up and in.
No, it was impressive to watch the Celtics because it wasn't easy. It wasn't like Miami put up a fight. The first half, this game was back and forth. You see here in the third quarter. I love the Celtics because they do show resiliency. Don't forget, this team was down 3-2 last year. They were down 3-2 in the last round. They're not going to quit.
Well, they're not going to win this series either.
What are you talking about?
It's great that they decided to play at some point of the series, Richard. The team with 3 wins only wins 150 times to zero, but it was great to see them make 18 threes, be plus 30 from the three-point line, and show a competitive spirit.
Well, look, I'm just going to be really honest. I've been down pretty bad, too, and good things can still happen. You got to have faith. You got to believe in yourself. And right now, Jason Tatum, look, if he gets going, that's the one thing about this series. We know the Celtics can do that for 3 more games.
Jason Tatum found it in the fourth quarter, something that has evaded him for much of this series. Let's take a listen to Jason Tatum and the Celtics after the game, gentlemen.
You know, as cliche as it sounds, you know, we just try to take it 1 game at a time. You know, we tried to break it down. We didn't play well those first 3 games. We didn't deserve the win. But, you know, we didn't want that to define us, define the season. And we still got a long uphill battle to go. But tonight was a good start.
We wanted to make sure that we stayed together. We wanted to make sure that we, you know, looked each other in the eye and came out today and put our best foot forward. And I'm proud of our group for doing that. Because, you know, you see teams with their back against the wall and you see they just collapse. You didn't see that tonight.
After a game like this, how do you personally kind of avoid from getting too low yourself?
Stay consistent. Do the same thing that I do, that we do after every game. We're going to listen to some music. You know, we're going to drink some beers back there. I'm going to go have some wine. I don't think that you could just focus on basketball all the time. You have to be able to, you know, get away from the game a little bit. And myself and my teammates, we're going to do the same thing. We're going to smile. We're going to be in this thing together like we always are. And we're going to go get one on the road.
Why am I picturing that, like, you know, chilling on the porch, maybe putting on some Tina Turner, rest in peace, and just chilling?
Yeah.
The Celtics' magic number from three-point range, it's 13. When they make 13 threes or more, Boston has won 80% of their games this year. But when they make under 13, they win just 32% of their games and are 0-6 this postseason in those games. So we talked a lot about this season, how the Celtics, they've lived and died from the three-point line. But what did you see? Were they just getting better looks? Were they just hitting the looks that they got, Danny? What was going on there?
A combination of both. They took their time, they worked the offense a lot more, and they got better shots. Of course, the game is who's going to make shots, but they got You know, they didn't turn the ball over as much. I think what hurt them in the other games, especially in crunch time, they had too many turnovers. This game, they controlled the tempo. They worked the offense. They got better looks. They got good shots, and they knocked them down. But also didn't allow Miami to get out in transition by not turning the ball over. So it was a great offensive game for them. They played better defensively as well. But I think the whole key for them is to make sure they get good looks, good shots, and not turn the ball over. That's the only way Miami lives.
Defense leads to offense. But, Richard, what did you have your eye on?
Timeouts! They needed more timeouts. That's what they needed. But look, we're going to get into that. But look, when we talked about the three, I just loved the competition that was going on. Pert gave that kind of talk, anti-talk yesterday, right? Like right. His pep talk. But it's look, when you're going to compete at a high level, you have to be able to have the ability to look a guy in the eye and say, hey, look, this is what it's about right now. It's not about the four games. It's about one game. It's about one quarter. You break it down in those segments, and I think the Celtics did a good job of that.
Tell me more about the timeouts, though, because we have harped a little bit on the coaching at times. I want to make sure we give the other side to that as well, because Joe Mazzulla stepped up last night.
Yeah, Joe Mazzulla stepped up because this is a thing. You can kind of save your timeouts in the regular season because you are one of the most talented teams, one, two, or three most talented teams. You're young, but look at what they did, 12-0 after a timeout. You kind of reset your guys. You get them back. You make them understand that, hey, look, let's calm down. Let's reset. Let's get on the boards. Let's do this. Let's make an extra pass. You saw that one timeout. Now here, again, after this, great play. Let's call a timeout. Let's reset. What's going to happen? 12-0 run again. Now, Mazzulla, this is my thing. I have no problem. I think he is a very good coach with the ability to become a great coach. But the entire basketball community is not wrong when they're saying that you're misusing your timeouts. I'm sorry. That's just the fact. The whole community isn't wrong. So for him to make adjustments, he made the adjustments in Philly where he started a big. He started a big Robert Williams and went big against Joel Embiid versus going small. So I love the fact that that we can see Mazzulla making adjustments, whether it's timeouts or lineups, because some of these things are fairly obvious.
So certainly credit is due on the coaching side. We've talked a whole lot about how the Celtics can do well when they shoot three. But in the playoffs, so often it's all about, do your star players show up? Do they show out when you need them? What did you see last night?
And you know what helps a first-year coach that wasn't on the bench last year, that was behind the bench, and what helps a team that's on their third coach in three years? When your best player shows up when it matters the most. And that's what Jason Tatum actually did. Other than the five turnovers, which he still has to find a way to keep those down, he was efficient, he was effective, and he was doing it as the primary ball handler.
Right.
So many times they fall into making him the screener. I like when he's the initiator because that gives him a chance to work himself into a rhythm. And once he gets going, he has proven to us time and time again, in particular in the big moment, that he can make shots versus anyone. And in these cases, it was Gabe Vincent, it was Bam Adebayo. It doesn't matter who was on him. Look at that one-leg jumper, Danny Green. That's just nasty right there. Heat check.
Yeah.
And when he's playing like that, the Boston Celtics are who we think they are.
Well, but Jalen, and that's the reason why you allow him to initiate the offense. He gets to pick who he wants to go against, right? Like here, look, back cut, finish at the rim, easy finish. But when you get to pick Vincent, who's 5 inches shorter than you, or you pick Bam and you're like, okay, I go against Vincent, I'm going to pull up because I know that I can get my shot off. I go against Bam, I'm going to go at him. And that's what he did.
So look at this disparity between game 1 and 3 and game 4 in the fourth quarter here and what Jason Tatum was able to do. Danny, take me inside this mentality. As a shooter, when you're maybe not having it over and over, I imagine that gets in your head at some point. What do you have to do to get back to where we saw Jason Tatum be last night?
Well, I never was a superstar in my time, so it's hard to say what he's thinking. But you just shoot it out. And I think a lot of times they're trying to find – I like him as a primary ball handler sometimes, but I like him off the ball some because I think Miami will go back to doubling him. And then he has to be, you know, facilitate and find. I think a lot of it was him being passive, trying to make the right play. And I think he just got out of his head and said, you know what, I'm just going to be aggressive and stop thinking about making the right play for the team, and then, you know, let the chips fall where they may, and guys will get open shots, and I'll also score as well. But there'll be some different changes for that fourth quarter for him, and I don't think Miami will just let him go one-on-one with those guys.
I'm trying not to be a prisoner of the moment here, Jalen, but when they get this game in Miami, it's like, okay, now they're going back to Boston.
No.
They were embarrassed on their home
floor.
No,
are they talking about
no.
Jalen.
No.
These Celtics, I believe
no.
in them.
You believe in being down 3-1 and winning a championship.
Yep.
Is what you believe in. But you can't underestimate in the history of the NBA, it's happened 150 times. And that team that's down 3-0 goes on to lose the series. Now, the one thing we haven't discussed is Bam had a bad game.
Right.
10 points, 5 boards,
ill.
Pedestrian for him. Usually he's blocking shots, hanging on the rim, looking bigger and more physical than the Celtics front line. He's going to play better. Don't be surprised if the Celtics win game 5.
That's all I'm saying. Just
but
game 5.
Game 6 okay. is over.
Game 6, they start to pucker up. I'm telling you. Look, you start to sweat a little bit in one, but once you get to that game 6, like if we don't win at home, what is the most intense place to play in all of the NBA?
Boston.
Boston Garden. We know that. Their fans, intense, like Titletown, whatever you want to call it, it is one of the most intense places. So they win at home, and that was our mentality. Win game 5, we win one game on the road, anything can happen in a game 7, so the formula is there.
I have to agree with Jalen. I don't see Boston.
Yeah, I don't care.
They might get the one game at home.
Exactly.
But I can't see them winning 3 and playing great basketball. Mind you, Miami's just playing too well. Their others are playing too well. The supporting cast has been amazing.
Yeah.
You know, Max Strus, mm-hmm. Gabe Vincent, all those guys. Caleb Martin, Kyle Lowry, Kevin Love. Those guys are hooping, man.
They are balling.
So with Jimmy and said Bam having an off night, I don't see them having an off night in 3 more games. That's not
right.
going to happen.
Well, we know when Bam Adebayo scores 20 or more points, by the way, 6-0, right, in the
there
post?
There you go. Yeah, we're going to start getting the stats and all that number stuff. I just believe.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes all you need is just a little bit of belief, like Ted Lasso.
I've never seen it, but, yeah, I've heard about
what?
It. Yeah.
Come on. All right. We have more time to dive into the Heat and the Celtics later in on our show, but still to come on NBA Today. After failing to reach expectations, who's going to be coaching Kevin Durant and Booker next season?
Sure, one of the three of us up here.
Please know, Adrian Wojnarowski is standing by with the latest. Plus, after getting swept out of the Western Conference Finals, the Lakers, yes, we're still going to have one more discussion about them. They have some decisions looming. Ramona Shelburne is here with some insight on what is next for LA. And speaking of heroes, Nugget star Jamal Murray stopping by the show live. His feelings ahead of his first finals appearance. That's coming up next.
Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
It's over! It's over! The Nuggets are going to the NBA Finals! What a crushing finish for the Lakers.
We had a great run, but we fell short of our goal. And our goal is to win championships. That's what this franchise is about. I have to say it's a successful year because I don't play for anything besides winning championships. I don't get a kick out of making a conference appearance. But we'll see. We'll see what happens going forward. I got a lot to think about, to be honest. Just for me personally, going forward with the game of basketball, I got a lot to think about.
LeBron James and the Lakers, they were swept by the Nuggets on Monday night. So now the team is going to shift its sights onto the offseason and maybe making some roster adjustments. So Coach Jarvin Ham and GM Rob Pelinka, they have more.
We had some things that we didn't execute and just didn't quite go our way. But make no mistake about it, this is not just a one-shot deal. We're going to be around. Like, we're going to be a problem to be dealt with. I can guarantee you that.
I would say this resoundingly clear. Our intentions are to keep our core of young guys together. And I think we saw incredible growth and achievement by, you know, Rui, Austin. I could go down the list, Vando, D'Lo. We have a lot of great young players. As you guys know, there's a new collective bargaining agreement now that has different components to it, and we want to fit the puzzle together in a way that'll help us compete for championships. Without talking about specific players, we'll do our best to keep this group intact and growing and getting better each year.
So Kyle Kuzma's entered the chat. He says, I've heard that before. What do we say here on NBA Today?
Hey, stay petty, stay petty, stay petty.
Stay petty, then you don't gotta get petty.
Oh, the Lakers. You say he heard that before after they won a championship is when they traded him. So it was after they won a championship with him. We're going to keep our young core together. And no.
I'm not saying anything here or there. I'm just letting the people decide. Ramona Shelburne is with us to be the voice of reason here on the desk. So what are you hearing about how the Lakers are going to approach this offseason?
Look, I think we can talk about the young core, but it's really not just about names. It's about numbers. Okay. If you want to bring back Rui Hachimura, Austin Reeves, and D'Angelo Russell, what are the numbers you're talking about? Because D'Angelo Russell coming back is fine if it's the right number. But if it's too much, right, then that changes how things are. I think they're very committed to bringing back Austin Reeves and Rui Hachimura, but the D'Angelo Russell number will matter here. And there is genuine interest in Kyrie Irving. And so there is a way to make that work. It's much more difficult, but it would have to be a sign and trade. But the numbers that you allocate for Hachimura, Reeves, and D'Angelo Russell matter.
I am very curious to get Jalen Rose's thoughts on this. But first, can you just clarify? When you say it has to be a sign and trade, that means the Mavericks have to buy in to whatever it is that is going to happen. And they have to choose between basically a big three and their depth for the Lakers. Why would they do that?
Well, I mean, it's about years for Kyrie Irving, right? He left Brooklyn because when they were talking about years, they would only go, it was 3 years, but the third year was a team option. Dallas could be in that similar position, but he wants 4 years.
Yeah.
And if you're not willing to give him 4 years, then he looks around. I think there's a number of teams that would be interested in Kyrie Irving that he would fit with. You're showing highlights of the Philadelphia 76ers. That would be an interesting fit there. Mm. The Los Angeles Lakers, I saw him at least two games.
Including
the final game of the season.
Right.
And so it does feel like it might come down to a choice between re-signing D'Angelo Russell and trying to find a sign and trade for Kyrie Irving.
Okay.
But the idea of Austin Reeves and Rui Hachimura, I think that they're committed to that.
Okay, I know that, Jalen, your sweater, it says JRLA. I'm going to pretend it says GMJR. Oh, put on your GM hat, please. Okay. What would you do?
I appreciate your professionalism. You're being very diplomatic. And I'm just going to say what everybody's thinking. You can't bring back D'Lo. I don't care what number it is, what years it is. Because when you get benched in the closeout game, while Kyrie Irving is sitting on the front row, that's a double message. Because how did he get them tickets?
Yeah, you don't buy those on StubHub.
That's right. And so based on that alone, at the end of game, at halftime of game three, everybody knew that D'Angelo Russell should be benched. He was like negative 53 on the floor. They were like plus 35 with him off the floor. When they didn't bench him, to me, that was them saying to him, you know what? We're not going to do that to you right now because we hope to sign you this offseason. When they benched him in game four, that let me know that they're not going to try to sign him.
Talk that talk, Jalen. Talk that. Because that's what it is. It's like you don't want to hurt someone, right, or even their mentality or the fan base and be like, we don't believe in this guy. So we're going to keep going. We believe that he's going to shoot his way out. But all of a sudden, the season becomes more important than our investment in you.
Correct.
Like, if you're not going to do it, we got to figure out something else. That's how Tristan Thompson gave great minutes.
Great minutes.
Because they're like, we're going to figure out something. And that's what happens when you get down, get down 0-3. So you're right. I think that's a great point. Kyrie Irving sitting right there watching somebody struggle. That might have impacted his struggles, let's be honest.
First time he was there, though, game six against Memphis, D'Angelo had a great game.
Great game.
Right. So, active player Danny Green, where do you fall on this?
I think it's going to be tough to bring him back, but it all depends on D'Lo and how humble he is to come back. And I think it's for the number as well. And also, what other point guards can you get to replace him? Can you bring back Schroeder? Can you get Kyrie? If you can't get those guys, then you have to bring D'Lo back because he's just too valuable for that team going forward. But if you can get a Kyrie Irving, or you can bring back Schroeder, you have to have another point guard. Austin Reeves is very good, but I don't see him as your starting point guard.
One more question for you, Ramona, though. Yeah. Can you bring back Austin? Do the numbers work to bring back Austin Reeves, Rui Hachimura, and then go get a third star?
It would be difficult. It depends on the order you do it. They're both – Hachimura and Reeves are restricted free agents.
Yep.
So they'd have the ability to match, and their numbers are not that high right now. And so the cap hold is not that high. So if they were willing to wait for the Lakers to go get a third star, then that could work.
Mm. Decisions, decisions. Coming up on NBA Today, no, it's not more Lakers. Something much more exciting. Jamal Murray, he is joining the show live in just a matter of minutes. We're going to talk all about the Nuggets' first ever finals appearance and so much more. We'll see you on the other side of the break.
You put D'Lo on ice.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
The more Murray magic.
Everybody realizes when we need something, we need a spark.
Because if a guy's got it going, we're going to ride that guy.
Just get him the ball and get him open.
Too much I cannot go, my name in all of the time zones. It's almost my time, I'm harder to find. It's skating on beats, I'm in grind mode.
Denver makes history, the Nuggets are going to the NBA Finals.
We're
going to
keep making history, that's the thing. We got four more wins to go.
Welcome back to NBA Today. Fresh off the Nuggets punching their ticket to the NBA Finals, we have a very special guest joining us. Jamal Murray is with us. Thank you so much, Jamal, for making the time. I'm curious. I know you're on the training table, just finished up some treatment here. How quickly does it shift from celebration mode to, all right, we still have four more games ahead of us?
Yeah, I think, you know, the flight was fun. I think we had a fun flight as a team, as a group, everybody. Yeah, not just the players, but the whole staff and everybody that was on the flight, basically. But for us, man, you know, we got four more to go. We haven't done anything yet. We just want to continue making history.
You got to take us inside the flight a little bit. I mean, was the champagne flowing already? Was it cards? Was it bets? What was going on?
No, just playing music. Vibes were high. Guys were, you know, everybody was up at their seat. You know, nothing too crazy though.
Who had the aux cord?
We had one of the rookies have it. P-Watt had it.
Oh, all right. A little, making sure that they can get the tunes going. All right. So after game one of the Western Finals, Nikola Jokic, he said that you were the Nuggets' best player for these series. What was the single game or single moment this postseason that you said to yourself, "Oh yeah, I am that person for this team"?
I felt like I've always been that. You know, I missed the last two postseasons, which was that sucked. But you know, to be back and be playing, you know, everybody knew the level I could play at and the capability I had on the court, so it wasn't in my head too much.
After being out for so long, though, I'm sure it was tough early on the season to rebuild that trust that you have with your knee after missing so much time with your ACL injury. Was there a moment where you cleared that hurdle and you felt like, okay, I'm not focusing on this anymore, I'm back to being myself on the court?
I think it was little check marks during the season that happened. It wasn't any specific moment. It was just, you know, every month felt better than it did, and it was like that since I got hurt. So I just knew if I stayed on top of my routine, my rehab, I'll be back playing you know, just how I am now, with no worry, no thought in mind. So it was just every month I continue to see improvement, and I wanted to see more improvement, so I just stayed on stayed on track.
You're so much more, Jamal, than Bubble Murray or Playoff Murray or any of these individual things that people say. You're also the same player, the only player ever to drop 50 with zero free throw attempts. You've had a slew of memorable moments. And I think when people say that, they mean it as a, oh, yeah, this is this player that we love is back. But you're just Jamal. That's what you like to be known as. Why does it not sit well with you when people say that? How would you rather be thought of?
I mean, people are gonna, you know, come up with anything they can, but I was more thinking about, you know, people thinking that was the best they were gonna get. You know, the best I could play. You know, there wasn't any room for improvement. Like, I wasn't gonna learn about the game. I wasn't gonna have more reps in the gym, you know, like I, you know what I'm saying? So to put a cap on my game, at such a young age, that's the only thing that, you know, I didn't get why people did.
Yeah, it's clear you're setting and resetting the bar even for yourself, and you're about to do so on the biggest stage. But did you think maybe, you know, 5 years ago you'd be setting this many picks for a 6'11 center?
He's amazing. He's amazing. Right. He's so versatile. He's got great touch. View of the game. He sees the plays before they happen. Unselfish on top of all that. He can shoot it. He knows when to shoot it. You know, he's got great hands. He's just, I could go down the line. He's a complete basketball player at the center position, and he continues to evolve the game.
Michael Malone said the other day that anybody who says that they knew 7 years ago what Nikola Jokic could be, a two-time MVP on a team going to the finals, was lying. When was the moment that you knew that he could be this player?
We came off the bench together my rookie year at least.
Yeah.
And that's where the chemistry kind of grew. And as soon as you started to see his minutes go up, so did everything else, and the wins started to accumulate. You know, the stats started to show his production, and, you know, I saw it from early. I think we all saw it from early, and we knew we had something special.
So you have some time here now. Are you rooting for this Celtics Heat series to go seven? Is there someone you'd rather see? How are you thinking about this?
We're just thinking about us. We're just thinking about what we got to do. We want to get everybody's body right, everybody's mind in the right place. But we're not really focused on, you know, who we're going to play. We just want to make sure that we're putting our best foot forward no matter who it is.
Well, Jamal, there is someone else here who wants to ask you a couple of questions. But just in case you need a reminder on how he prefers to be addressed, just take a listen here.
Oh, man.
Jamal, can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Don't you dare yes, sir, me ever again. Don't
man,
you dare.
This? What you talking about?
Don't don't ever let that happen again. Do you understand me, sir?
Who the hell are you talking to?
Richard, I don't think he knows it's you, Richard.
Man, who is Richard?
It's Richard Jefferson, Jamal.
Oh. You see how much I care about him? I don't even know who he's talking to.
You didn't have to throw in that last part. That, like,
I'm so happy. Care,
like, but I, like, you wouldn't know.
What's up, my guy?
Now is my guy. Now is, you know, if you wouldn't have changed your phone number on me, I could have told you. But look, we got five quick questions. We're gonna get to all this. All right, are you ready?
Go ahead, bro.
First of all, let me say congratulations, man. I'm proud of you. I'm happy for you. I love you, man. This is so exciting.
Thank you,
but let's get back to the real stuff. I want to know hard hitting questions right now. Who has more abs, you or Jokic?
Bro, come on, bro. Next question, bro.
Next question. All right. You are now my pick to be the unanimous Western Conference finalist, and you're going to go there, and you guys are going to win the championship. I believe that. Does that make you nervous? Because I've never been wrong.
I really appreciate that you believe in me like that, man.
You know what? Thank you. You know what? That's heartfelt. Okay, next thing. Who is the greatest Canadian athlete?
Athlete?
Yes.
We got a few. You know, I'm gonna say myself.
I think
as anybody would.
I love it. That's what you
but to name
say.
A few, you got Steve Nash. You know what I'm saying? Steve Nash.
Steve Nash. That's let's stick with that one. That's a good one. All right. Melo or Jokic, which jersey has to be retired?
Ooh, that's tough, man. I'm going to go with my guy Jokic, though, you know? Mm-hmm. I'm going to go with my guy Jokic.
Okay, that's fair. And last question, what game are you playing and what's your gamer tag?
JAAYM27. We play every game. Just let me know. Hop on, you know what I'm saying?
Okay. Okay, well, what game are you playing? What game are you playing?
Everything, bro. Everything. Call of Duty, Fortnite with my little bro. Okay. Play 2K. Play Mortal Kombat.
PUBG.
I don't play PUBG, though.
Okay, no. Okay. Well, guess.
Five hard-hitting questions with Richard Jefferson. Are you going to address him as sir from here on out, Jamal?
No, this is my guy. This is my guy. Love you, Jamal.
Murray.
Happy for you, bro.
Thank you so much for spending some time with us here on NBA Today. Congratulations. We will see you at game one of the finals next week. Coming up here on our show, though, after staying alive last night in Miami, who are Jamal Murray and the Nuggets going to face? Do the Celtics have the luck of the Irish?
Luck of the Irish.
Going forward.
You got the green representing them.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're watching NBA Today.
Miami on the brink of elimination, right? And then they come all the way back. Why can they win it all?
They're going to need some help. Dwayne Wade, is he available? Still in shape? Alonzo Mourning? This is what it's going to take. They're going to need some Herculean effort from these guys in their prime.
Miami is absolutely taking the heart of the Boston Celtics.
One win away for the Miami Heat from the NBA Finals.
You know what I'm doing? I'm going to be the one person that believes in the Celtics. I think the Celtics are going to come back and win this series.
Win the series.
Wait, what?
Don't
let them win one.
All right. So I'm standing with two gentlemen who both picked the Celtics to win this series. I'm curious, Richard, if you're still 10 toes down on that decision.
100% I'm 10 toes down with my heels out. Now let's go. Look, this is what I want to talk about, all right? This is what I want to talk about. I believe in them. Ladies and gentlemen, I am a part of an epic group of individuals that didn't listen to any of the outside noise. That's not what I was about. Look at this. Look at the NCAA tournament. What is this? This is right now, 150-0 when the series is 3-0. 150-0. Jalen doesn't believe him, but look at this. I've seen a zero before. 16 seeds versus the one, 135-0. And then what happened? What happened? Show him. Yeah, okay. Okay, Virginia. Way to show them how it's done. Way to show the Miami Heat how it's done. It happened twice in the last 5 years. How amazing is that? Amazing things can happen. You got to believe. That's it. Don't listen to anybody else. Don't believe anybody else. FDU, you didn't listen to anybody, did you? Look at that. 100. And you want some more? You want some more options? Let me give you another option. Let me give you something. Let me show. Roll the tape. I was there. I was in the building for Game 7, Yankees, Red Sox. I just happened to be there. I was like, I'll go see the Yankees win. Do you know how crazy it was? You know who else was there? These two guys were there. Well, one of them. That guy was there. The other guy, A-Rod, was there. Jeter was there. You have to believe. That's the Yankees that the Red Sox came back to beat. So you have to believe. Anything can happen. You just got to get one game. You got to win one quarter. And look, the Boston Celtics, they're the most talented team. So I don't want to hear any noise. Because I don't even like Jimmy Butler. He ended my career when I was playing for Denver. I'm still mad at you about that, Jimmy. You remember the conversation we had before? You didn't care. You just wanted to keep playing. And now Jimmy Butler, is he going to lose to the Celtics? I think so.
Okay. Jaylen?
I'm hyped up today.
You ignoring the most important things. First off, this ain't college basketball.
Okay.
That watered down product that we're seeing. The second thing is you're ignoring the fact that you got to win four in a row. So 3-1 ain't 3-0. You and I both know if it's happened 150 times in the history of this league that a team has been up 3-0 and no team has come back to win, it ain't gonna happen unless there's a catastrophic injury, mm-hmm. which clearly we're not hoping for as it relates to the Miami Heat.
I believe anything can happen. I've been a part of it, right?
Wasn't a part of 3-0.
This doesn't matter.
Okay.
Doesn't matter.
Okay.
In the NBA Finals, teams that are down 3-1 are 200-0, right? They've never lost. And then we did it. It was 0-200.
You comparing 3-1 to 3-0 is like.
It's 3-1 now.
But it's
3-1
now. It's like saying your heels are out. Your heels aren't out. You're walking on the back of your shoes.
I can't.
That's
with
two
that.
Different things.
It
no,
gives
that's,
me
that's, the way,
hives.
That's the way they're supposed to look.
No.
That's the way they're supposed to look. I don't know what y'all talking about, man.
Okay.
Look,
well,
my
Jaylen
top off, they back out.
Realistic. But Marcus Smart is optimistic. Take a listen.
Let's go, Marcus.
You and Jaylen set a shoot around today. Don't let us win one. Obviously, just one game, but now what?
Now we just got to go win another. It's all that matters. You know, we take it one game at a time. You know, we understand, you know, the odds are stacked against us. But we're a team that believes in us no matter what, and we just got to keep going, and all that matters is the next game.
We want to come back to Miami. So if that happens, I feel like we're going to feel good about ourselves. So, the next one should be fun. It should be a big one, and we got to come ready to play.
ESPN senior writer Ramona Shelburne joined us as well as Danny Green. All right, Ramona, let's derail down a little bit here. What's the Celtics' mindset going into this Game 5?
You know, I was talking to Jason Tatum about this, and he said it's almost like the pressure was off them. Like, everybody relaxed because they were down 0-3.
House
everybody
money.
Thought they were going to lose. And they had this big golf outing. Al Horford organized it. And he said when they first showed up, it wasn't really that fun. But then when they left, they go, this was good to do something as a team other than basketball. And this is a team, Malika, that's been good when they're not supposed to be good, right? When they're down 9, they're great. They're loose, right? When they're not so good as a front runner, but when they get down, they generally tend to relax. And they were down 0-3 in this series. Nobody was picking them except for, I guess, Richard, and he's going to be talking about that.
Yep.
But they're still down 3-1, right? They're still down. And I asked him, I go, you know, do you guys actually believe you can come back? And he goes, we really believe. I'm not faking it. We really believe that we can come back. And so, look, this is Game 5 at home. If they can stay loose, if they can still play with that relaxed quality they had yesterday, we'll see.
So is it as simple as you just need to golf to stay loose, Danny? how do you tune out that noise?
No, it's not that simple. I do agree that they do play well when their back's against the wall. I still think they're going to lose the series. But they're going to be coming at home now. I think the mindset is take it one game at a time. Mm. So you got to win at home, protect home court. If you can get to Game 6 and hopefully Miami doesn't play as well, then you could find a way to get to Game 7 is what their mindset. But they got to take it one game at a time, and that's protecting home. And so far in this playoff, this postseason, they haven't been great at home. Hopefully they change that narrative for tomorrow.
I mean, when did they do well in the Philly series?
Mm.
When Jason Tatum had a horrible game and they came back and had a great fourth quarter in Game 6, right?
Yeah.
When did they do well in Game 7? When they were down 10 points. They tend to do better when people expect them to lose.
They have to take it one game at a time, and it starts with tomorrow night. That is when Game 5 goes down. Danny, Ramona, thank you so very much. Coming up here on NBA Today, the Suns. They have narrowed down their coaching candidates to just 4. Woj is here with the latest on who will be at the helm for Book and Durant next season. NBA Today will be right back.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle.
a run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Welcome back to NBA Today.
It's time for Putting in Work, presented by Upwork. Tyler Hero, he is working toward a return. The Heat guard who broke his right hand in the Heat's playoff opener, that was on April 16th. He has had his brace removed, and he's resuming workouts. That's according to head coach Eric Spoelstra. Now, Hero was Miami's third leading scorer during the regular season, averaged a career high in points, rebounds, and assists this year. Let's shift gears a little bit, though. Joining us with the latest on the coaching searches across the league is our senior NBA insider, Adrian Wojnarowski. And Woj, there are five coaching positions that are currently open across the league, but it seems like the Suns, they may have a decision soon. What's the latest there?
Yeah, Phoenix has narrowed their search down to four candidates now. Two very prominent coaches, Nick Nurse, Doc Rivers, two lesser-known candidates, but think future head coaches, Phoenix's associate head coach Kevin Young and Kings associate head coach Jordy Fernandez, who had been in Denver prior with Michael Malone. But listen, Nick Nurse is in, I think, a prominent position all around the league on the significant openings, Philadelphia, Milwaukee, and Phoenix. And so I think there's going to be an opportunity, I think, here for Nick Nurse to perhaps have more than one offer out of this process. I think you may start to see several of these searches, I think maybe especially Milwaukee, Phoenix, start to come to a head perhaps toward the end of this week or the weekend. But again, Nick Nurse, Doc Rivers, both meeting with Suns leadership, including their owner, Matt Ishbia.
Very interesting, Woj. Thank you so much for spending a little bit of time with us here on NBA Today. So the Suns, they did add Kevin Durant to pair with Devin Booker, right? But it could cost Phoenix a little bit of their depth, their youth there. So, Richard, I ask you, when you listen to what Woj has to say, his reporting there, who do you think is the best candidate for Phoenix?
J.J. Redick? I'm kidding. No, I like Nick Nurse. I like Nick Nurse. To me, of all the coaches that I you know, had the opportunity to watch and talk to and just see how they develop. Like, again, Nick Nurse was a part of the development of that Toronto franchise. Pascal Siakam, Van Vliet, all those guys were a part of that development there. So I like Nick Nurse. Mm-hmm. And I think with this group, because it's a fresh voice. None of these guys have played for him. So it's a little bit of like, hey, let's figure out how to come together and figure this out. So for me, I think Nick Nurse is probably my favorite coach out there that's available.
You have some experience with some of these head coaches that are in this race. What do you think, Dave?
I like Frank Vogel. Championship
Frank
pedigree.
Very good.
I like his defensive principles. The things that he did when I played for him, he made it easier for us to play defense. And I think that's what Phoenix needs. Obviously, need depth. They need a bench. But their problem isn't scoring as much as it is defense. So I think Frank Vogel could be the guy for them. And also give him a fresh voice, like Richard said. And also get a control. Change the culture. But, you know, have somebody that those locker room guys respect.
Okay. Well, not on the list, but still an interesting for all the coaching vacancies that we have around the league. An interesting one to keep in mind. I'm curious, as sort of an outsider looking in, what's the difference when you're in a locker room and you feel, okay, this is a coach that has been around the league, that has won championships, that we know a little bit, at least from the outside, versus someone who's new, someone who's maybe been on the bench for a couple of seasons and is getting their first shot, Danny?
I guess it all depends on the preference of the superstars with Book and KD and what they're looking for. But
okay.
And also, I think the biggest thing is not just the head coach, but the piece they bring in around those guys. I don't think they need like a fresh or new voice. I think they just need somebody with some structure and that can make things easier for them, for the superstars. And that's just getting help and making sure that the help knows what their role is and they can play at a high level efficiently.
Well, and this is a weird thing for me is I think like you should pick this coach before the draft. You should pick this coach before free agency, because a lot of times we'll see teams pick and do these things, and then all of a sudden they'll never hire their coach. And you're like, well, I feel like that's a bit backwards. So, you know, the sooner that you can figure out this is going to be our guy, allow him, if he doesn't know the players, to spend time building relationships over the course of the summer, free agency, summer league, all of these things. It's about relationship building, because the only way you can win a championship and be in the fire with somebody is if you have that relationship with them. And so sometimes when you see coaches get fired, it's because that relationship has gone awry.
And I imagine when vision is top to bottom aligned in all of those different ways. Interesting. Well,
Adrian Wojnarowski reporting that these talks could ramp up towards the end of the week and into the weekend. It's going to be interesting to keep an eye on that. We will be back in just 60 seconds.
Man, we already at the 60-second break?
We're already at the 60-second break. The good old days. Speaking of.
How do they find jeans that big for a 6'10"?
Paolo Banchero. New Slam magazine shoot? I mean, look at those pants, Jalen.
I think he's fresh. As the lone person here that was born in the 70s, actually rocking bell bottoms, I could appreciate that look. It's fly.
I know that everything is old and is new again. It's coming back. And
nah. That was never a thing. That was never, ever a thing. That's not coming back. Jeans that big? Bell bottoms? That's different.
Yeah, those are got to be custom, right?
I mean, the baggy look was a thing. I don't know if bell bottoms that big.
That's what I'm saying. That big.
The baggy look, it was a thing.
Did you have baggy, like, did you have baggy stuff? It's Friday, everybody. I apologize. My casual approach to this.
Wednesday. I had to think about it for a second.
What?
I wasn't sure what.
Oh, Jay Red!
Detroit Red!
Let's talk baggy looks, though.
Rest in peace, Jeannie Cassandra Rose. Ooh. I love and miss you, Ma.
Love you, Ma.
That's a dope suit, man.
That's fine.
Highest pinstripes.
That brings us back.
Detroit Red.
Did bring it back.
You still have the suit? In my ear. Now they got real diamonds.
Do you still have the suit?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Can you wear it immediately?
In a frame.
Oh, it's in a frame? As it should be.
Absolutely.
It's in a frame. Unlike whatever. Richard, it's not actually true that those are meant to be stepped.
That is 100. First of all, yes, it is. This way these shoes
Jalen,
are.
Please weigh in. Please advise.
As long as he got lotion on them heels, I'm good.
Oh, yeah, that's it. I'm going to be real. I'm light skinned. I don't use that much lotion. Not as much as I should. Yeah.
You got to get the baby oil.
No. Because I'll be shining and sliding out of these bad boys. Ooh.
There you go.
Wee. God, that was, how many years ago was that? 23?
Oof.
Man, I look good.
The baggy shorts weren't bad.
No, the baggy shorts weren't good. You go between your legs, you couldn't see the ball. It was actually helping you with the defense. Right?
Ball hand protection.
Yeah, the shorts right there, yeah.
Who would have thought that would be the last time the Nets made the finals?
Yeah, 23 years
later. Especially after their recent moves.
Yeah.
Looks still the greatest Nets team in history.
I mean,
Dr. J's on line one.
Well, NBA. Okay. Dr. J's the greatest net.
Okay. ABA.
Okay. ABA, greatest net of all time. Love, doctor. Don't hit me up.
What's better, the one we just saw of you or these?
Oh, this is better. I don't know where they came up with it.
I have no problem.
Whoever the design person is, Jamal Mosley, his coach always texts me complaining about my fit. And I love what Van Gundy said. They said they need him back because his bench fits are so terrible. They said we need him back in the lineup because these Palm Angels, come on, that's tough.
I kind of liked what Tyler Herro's
wearing. Tyler got all the swag. I'm not questioning Tyler's swag.
I can't rock
what
it.
What you wear
but
is how you wear it.
Yeah, he
wears it with confidence, so I'm rolling with it.
It's not what you wear, it's how you wear it.
I would wear it, but you wear it very confidently.
I wear it confidently because that's just who I am.
But it's crazy how it works, and Tyler's a perfect example. When you're trying to get the bag, you dress fresh.
Mm.
And then once you get the bag, you try to dress like you broke.
Yeah, yeah. It happens a lot here in L.A. People move to Venice and act like they're broke. And it's like, no.
That's going to do it for us. You're on NBA Today. Thank you so much for hanging with us.
A lot of rich people living in Venice.
We'll be back with you tomorrow, normal time. 2-hour show on Friday, Richard Jefferson.
I will not be here.
We'll see you then. Thank you so much.
Happy Friday, everyone.
It's not Friday.